I speak on this morning. And you know how it goes. Many times, I've never seen a time yet that no matter what I think I'm going to speak on, God changes it up. Or I think I'm going to get it on Thursday for prep. Can't get it Thursday. Trying to get it on Friday, and then it comes on Saturday. But whatever the case, God is right on time. Amen. He's always going to come through. And I know he would, so I hope and pray. Not hope, but I pray that you'll receive the word, not just seeing me standing here, but I thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to stand, Lord, behind the sacred podium, Lord God, to give a word that you have given to me unto your people, Lord God, to feed the flock, Father God, in the absence of our pastors, Lord God, not ever being able to take her place, Lord God, but standing, Father, in proxy, doing the will of the Father and what you would have us to do. May this word be received, Father God, according to the ears that it falls upon. May they hear it. May it prick their heart. And may, Lord God, they run on it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about running a little bit. Run, 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 run. Something we do in life a lot. Always going. And by that running, I mean is that we constantly have something going on all the time. Sometimes you wish you didn't have some things going on. And it makes me think when you were younger, you just didn't think about time. But I don't know about you, but I know as I get older, I think a lot about time. And time seems to wait for no one. This thing of getting a little older, these aches and pains, I'm not really feeling them. But thanks be to God, I'm still here. Just get up and say, okay, it's a new one today. Let me lay hands on it and keep it moving, whatever it may be. But in this hustle and bustle world that we're always in, we're always running to do something. We're always running to, we're always running from time. Most of our days consist of having a consistent, full agenda. Sun up to sundown, we got something to do. Even on our days off, we got a list of things to do, particularly on days off, because if you're not working and you got a day off, you're trying to catch up, right? You're trying to do the things you got to do, housework, run errands, see this person, see that person, return messages, whatever it might be. But when do we honestly just sit still and hear God? When do we honestly just sit there and hear from God? And I mean hear from him longer than when you're saying your morning prayers, longer than when you're saying your evening prayers, when you pray 15, 20 minutes, maybe even longer. Before saying amen, getting up, going along your merry way. Do you sit and listen to his response? Because how many know that when you pray, God answers? And it may not be right then and there, but he's always speaking back to you. It's always a dialogue. That's why we have relation. That's why we have relation. So therefore, when you speak to God in prayer and you have a dialogue, you should always wait to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. But do we really take that time to do it, or do we continue to run on? We have a busy agenda that when we tend to do our work and tend to try to return calls and tend to get on that cell phone, that dreaded cell phone, which is a convenient, but it's also a distraction. Who would ever thought? I can remember the first time seeing a phone in the car. We were in Atlantic City. And I guess she was a rich lady because she had the big Rolls Royce with the big old Texas horns on it and everything. And she had one of them fancy phones. We looked and said, oh, man, she got a phone in the car. Couldn't believe it. 1970-something. I don't know what it was. But it just blew my mind because that was the first one I'd seen in the car. And now we walk around with it in my pocket, talking to anybody around the world. Technology is good. It can be good, but sometimes not so good. It all depends on how you use it. But we're busy. We're always doing something. Sometimes you're doing nothing but just sitting back, cruising on TikTok, cruising on Facebook, cruising on Instagram. Seeing whatever the latest trend of the day is, whatever's going on in the world, because there's always a trend of some sort. Now all the kids are going 6'7", which is, to me, is crazy. All over a guy's jersey number, 6'7". That's all I keep hearing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just let that one go, shoo, because I'm way too old for 6'7". But the kids love it. But there's always a trend. It's funny how we follow the world. But why can't the world follow Jesus? We'd be in a better place. Amen. Amen. But some will, some won't. We know that by now. Some will, some won't. Some don't want to hear it. But with the holidays coming up around the corner, you might be even anticipating. It's not far off. If you're a cook or you're a baker, You're anticipating that one recipe that you keep telling yourself year after year, or you said last year, I'm going to cook that this year. I'm going to bake that this year. But for whatever reason, you didn't do it. So now you're right back this year. 225 said, I'm making it this year. Will you really? I'm glad you're honest about it. It's the thought that counts. But who knows? You might get that burst of energy and decide, yep, I'm going out here and I'm going to do it this time. Especially when it comes to baking, because I don't know about being the baker, but I like receiving the baked goods. Especially around Christmas time. Amen. But anyway, however you look at it, my point is, if you haven't gotten it by now, is that we have everything on our mind to do. Everything we must do, want to do, won't do. There's never enough time. But are we making time for the Father? Not just Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, but are we really finding some time in our weekdays to sit down, read His Word, study it, ponder it, hear from God? We used to always lay prostrate before God. We had it back in the prayer room. Took the carpet up now and got the hard floor. It's not so comfortable. It's cold on that floor, but we got to get another cushion. It'll go lay in another room somewhere. But laying prostrate before God, you will hear a lot of times as He feeds you, constantly feeding into you. Make the time for Him. But I ask you again, what are you running on? Because we're always running on some type of emotion of some sort. What are you running on in your own agenda, in your own finite mind? Are you making plans every waking hour to do what you want to do and not so much what He wants you to do? Does He have an assignment for you today? More than likely He does. Somewhere in your day, God always has something for you to do. There's no more than go pray for somebody. Pray for somebody where you're at, just like we were this morning. Go visit a sick, something. But what is it that God wants you to do? What are you running on? Is it your own thoughts? Is it your own ideas of the day? Or are you running on Dunkin's? Pure adrenaline rush. What are you running on? Is the Holy Spirit leading you? Is He guiding you? Is He taking care of the daily things that God wants you to do, not so much what you yourself want to do? I say all of that because I know now, but now I got your mind pondering. I got you thinking about some things like, what am I running on? What emotion am I running on? We run on fear. We run on anger. We run on desperation. Anxiety this morning woke me up. You got to speak today. Get moving. Get going. Get this. Get that. And then it's not because we don't get up on time. I can't figure it out. I'm asking God just to work with us on that time thing. So we walked in pretty early today, but I wanted to actually get here earlier than what we did. So pray for the Roberts with that time thing. Oh, go with me, if you will, to the book of Jonah. Jonah 1, and we're going to read 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip down to 12 through 15. Jonah 1, 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen, because I like to be on one accord. Amen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. And I'm reading from the New Standard Bible. However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Then the Lord heard a violent wind of the sea, and such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. Skip down to 12 through 15. He answered them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, so that it might quiet down for you. For I know that I am to blame for this violent storm that is against you. Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to the dry land. But they could not, because the sea was raging against them more and more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Yahweh, don't let us perish because of this man's life. Don't charge us with innocent blood, for you, Yahweh, have done just as you have pleased." Then they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Get rid of the problem. But what was Jonah running on? We know the story has been given to us time after time. But Jonah was given an assignment by the Lord. He refused to do that assignment. In other words, he was disobedient. That ever happened to anybody in here? That's rhetorical. But I'm sure we all can answer that. God has told you to do this. Give a word to somebody, and you're like, I don't really want to do that. They're going to look at me like I got three heads. They're going to be like, who you think you are? Oh, you're a holy roller, God, this guy, that. But we've given an assignment, just like Jonah was. His only assignment was to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, the great city. And at that time, it was being a lot of wickedness going on in there. They operated by cruelty. The Syrians were some rough people. Jonah's assignment was to cry out against that. But no, instead he refused. He ran, attempting to flee from the assignment. But was only faced with more calamity and more troubles. How many of you know if you run from God, you're not going to get away from God? You're going to keep going through and through and sometimes through and around until you finally give in. But Jonah, being the man that he was the son of a prophet, Amamata, his father, which means to be faithful and true. At this time, he was anything but that. He was opposite of that characteristic. And being the son of a prophet and being a minor prophet himself, he wanted to have a certain persona about him. He wanted to carry it a certain way. When given an assignment by God, he decided that he wasn't going to listen. He jumped in the ship, leaving out of the port to Tarshish, and completely with the opposite direction. God said, go to the left. He said, nope, I'm going to the right. Anybody ever done that? But God, I don't want to. I don't want to. Do I have to? If God told you to do it, then you should do it. Jonah was, in fact, upset with the Assyrians. They were wicked, indigenous people near the city of Mesopotamia, which is today's Iran, modern Iran of today. You know what's going on over there. He believed, as brutal as they were, that they did not deserve God's mercy. So how was he going to be the judge of who would deserve God's mercy when he's not even being obedient to what God's asking him to do? How is that? But that's how we are as people. We like to be judgmental. He believed, as brutal as they were, that they didn't deserve it. He, in fact, wanted the Nevidian people to fail. He felt that they had been given a warning by God, but they failed to heed to that warning. They failed to cease to dismiss their sinful ways. So he was judging them. But they did not do so, and they did not follow his word. They did not follow God's word, I'm sorry. And he didn't follow God's word. So he was just as bad as they were. But he didn't seem to think so. Being the prophet that he was, I guess he thought that he was okay. He thought that all this would come to pass because it really wasn't on his shoulders that the people were wrong. But if God gave him a mission, maybe for his correction, because God does give you correction, he loves your children. Every father that loves his kids will correct them, even though it may not feel good at the time. We've all been there, I'm sure. But he decided he was going to run. And as a son of a prophet, he had too much pride to take the chance on being wrong. See, he had already anticipated that it wasn't ever going to be corrected there. Have you ever been scared of being wrong? Yeah. Have you ever wanted to do something, particularly like in class on a test or something, taking second guess? They always say don't second guess your answer, right? When in doubt, put C. I don't know if you heard that, but I have. Scared of being wrong. But God is in the midst of something you won't never go wrong. God's plan for you, by ignoring it, the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to you, is not good for you to do so. hear from God, obey God. Jonah wasn't doing that at all. I'd be willing to say that we all have probably been there, that we didn't obey God, that we didn't do something that he asked us to do, or time-wise, we didn't do it when we should have. How many times have you said to yourself, something told me. Something told me to do this. Something told me to go there, but I didn't go. Only to find out later that had you went, it would have made a difference. Or maybe you were obedient and you did listen, and you found out, in fact, it did make a difference. And then you say to yourself, boy, I'm so glad I heard from God. Patting yourself on the back then. Fast forwarding, after a very violent, nasty storm, Jonah was thrown off the ship into the sea. But it wasn't over there what happened to him next. 3 days in the belly of a well. Can you imagine that? 3 days, three nights being swallowed up. Had to be scary because it had to be dark in there. Didn't know what was going on. It had to be real stinky. And when you get swallowed up, you probably figure you ain't coming back out. So now you get ready to pass all the way through. And that ain't good. And I imagine the whale has a lot of stomach acid. Ugh. But what was Jonah running on? Was he running on fear? Was he running on anger? Was he running on doubt, ignorance, or just old, plain old disobedience? You be the judge. It appeared that he had had a little attitude against God anyway, simply because he didn't see things his way. He felt like it should have went a certain way, and it didn't. So he was just going to ignore what God told him to do, ignore the assignment. He wanted God to see things his way. Have you ever wanted God to see your things your way?
Every day.
Did you get your way? So you have to ask yourself at the time, well, what am I running on? Attitude with God? You can get mad with him all you want, but does it help? No, he's going to have the last say. He's always trying to get something to us, but we don't always see it that way. God simply wanted to use Jonah. He wanted him to be obedient. He wanted him to deliver this message to the city of the people that was out of control, sinful ways going on. Kind of reminds you of, what was the other city? Help me out. That was out of control. Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank you. But no, Jonah, being a knucklehead, said, nope, I ain't delivering no message. God, I'm not doing it. I'll just run the tires. So I'm going to get on the ship and roll out. They won't have no problems. Well, they got on the ship, it was nothing but problems. Jonah missed the opportunity to be compliant with his father's will for his life. Have you ever missed out on that opportunity because you weren't compliant? Did you get a second chance? Well, Jonah got a second chance. But ask yourself, has God ever gave you the message to deliver and you failed to do it out of what? Fear, out of doubt, anger, just ain't going to do it. Jonah was that away. But he was given a second chance. Not always do you get it, but God is a God of second chances. And if he sees the opportunity to give it to you, he will. Or he might pass that assignment on to someone else. You might have missed yours, but he might have given it to somebody else. And when you want to do something, you want to be correct in doing it, but you got to realize that if God has got you doing it, then he's going to do it his way. In our finite mind, we may not think we're right, correct, whatever, but trust God. That's what the song said. I trust in God. And believe me, if you trust him, it's going to work out. Amen. So he threw him off the ship, swallowed up in the belly of the whale. And then later on, he was spewed out. So he kind of got out of that one. So he thought. So then here's Jonah. He's laid up under a great big old plant. Nice green plant, beautiful shade. He's resting, saying, thank you, God. But then while he's asleep, comes a what? A worm eats the plant away. Plant dies. Long story short, Jonah gets one of the worst sunburns he could ever get because he no longer had a shade. And that's what it says. He was burnt. So I'm anticipating that he was really red and hurting and very uncomfortable. But God's still trying to get something through to him. He's just being disobedient, running from the assignment. Despite it all, God still had mercy on Jonah. He gave him the second chance to deliver the message to the people of Nineveh. And even though Jonah wanted to die instead, he finally preached a simple message to the people. It kind of reminds me of Job's wife said, curse God and die, because she just knew he was wrong. But Job said, no, I've done nothing. So Jonah, getting a second chance, finally went and told him what the message was, to repent to the king and all the townspeople. He said, repent, turn from your ways. And they did. Even the king took off his robe, took off his crown, put on sackcloth, put on ashes, and they mourned. It even says that they put it on the animals. I don't know why they had to do the animals, but that's what the Bible says. And they mourned, and they got through this. They, in return, they repented, and they seen the changed ways because their hearts had changed. God had done successfully what he had planned to do. He had compassion on them, and then he spared the city of further destruction, of further trouble. Turned their situation around. God ever did that for you? Turn your situation around, spared you, did something that you thought couldn't be possibly done. But God is a God of miracles. He can work it out. Amen. We got to give him the chance. The word tells us over in 1 Samuel 15 and 22, it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And it is every time. Because how many times growing up, you ever been disobedient when mom or dad told you to do something? I can remember many days. Me and my brother, we just loved to do things. We just got into stuff. Used to make my sister so mad. We would just do stuff. And you, when you think your mom forgot, oh boy. Late at night after you done got that bath, got that meal in your belly, you feel good, and she done tucked you in bed, then you hear that door come open. Ooh, Lord, didn't I tell you not to that? And that's a true story. Oh, mama, I ain't gonna do it again. I won't do it no more. Tearing that tail up because she never forgot. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It would have been better to do it or not do it than to have to deal with that. But we learn from that, right? And the same way with our daddy when he spanks us. He might do it in a way that we feel as though we didn't deserve, but when you stop and think about it, maybe you did. And it may not be so harsh because his punishments are to groom us, to grow us up in him. So it's not like he's going to just do it to devastate us and just to be a mean old daddy. No. Man may have a mean old daddy just because sometimes daddy get happy with the scrap. Sometimes he got something on his mind, he take it out on you. I didn't do it, he did it, but you are the one at the time. But God's not like that. He's a God of love. He's a God of correction. When he's correcting you, he's loving you. So the moral of the story, if you know it by now, is that you can't run from God. If he tells you to do something, you might as well gear up and do it. You might as well be obedient. Because either two things are going to happen. Either God's going to keep taking you around that same issue over and over and over and over. And you'll think that's the biggest bush you can get around in your whole life because you're not heeding to the call. Right? So he's going to either take you around and around, or you will have missed an opportunity. Opportunity of a lifetime to do what the Father asked you to do. And you know, we always wanted to please our Father. If you had a father in the home, you wanted nothing better than to please Father because he was steering things in a certain direction. Or if Mama became your father, in my case, always wanted to please her no matter what. Jonah could have made life much easier for himself if he had just been obedient in the beginning by obeying. But by nature, we all default to the flesh. Sometimes we fail at the mission because this old flesh gets in the way. And Paul has already told us in this flesh dwells no good thing. So in closing, next time you're running from God, ask yourself, why am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I running? What am I running on? Am I running on fear? Am I running on doubt? Am I running on anger? Or am I just being plain old disobedient? Ask yourself. Stop and think about it. Be open to the Holy Spirit and hear from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will never guide you wrong. you can lose something. Every time we lose something around the house and can't find it, look for it, we always default. Holy Spirit, where is it? You know where it's at. And I guarantee you, every single time we'll find it. He'll never let you down. Whatever the assignment is, if God said do it, do it. No matter how ridiculous it may sound to you, may feel to you, do it anyway. Be obedient. Always remember, if God brings you to it, he's going to get you through it. Amen? Because he's already provided provisions for you. He's already worked it out. You don't have to worry about working it out because he's already done that. So we sometimes get in God's way thinking we can do it when he's doing it for us. And he'll lay it out, A, B, C. But we want to go ahead and try to lay it out ourselves. And in doing so, we just sometimes get in the way and make a mess of things. Again, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. 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 Be blessed.